Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Dr. Kinlow is preaching the third and final message in a series of sermons in the book of 3 John. 3 John was written to Gaius to instruct the church on how to care for true and faithful to the Scriptures Bible teachers who traveled widely to minister God's Word, and to deal with troubling personality types that are common in the church today, as in the first century AD church, specifically the Diotrephes in the church today. Let's listen and learn.
Today, the third epistle of John, and we want to begin, as we always sermons in this book, we want to read through the entire letter. It's such a short book. We want to read through it once again this time. And so I'm going to start at verse 1 and read through verse 12. And then you can complete the congregational reading by reading 13, 14, and 15. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth. That is how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. And they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God, for they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men, so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius had received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. 13, 14, 15, read, begin. And God's people say amen.
Amen.
And amen. You might be seated. We are studying the third epistle of John. John was written by a man named John. He was well known in the early first and second century AD simply as the elder. John was one of the original disciples of Christ. He was a personal eyewitness to the earthly ministry of our Lord. He was a witness of the death of Christ on the cross and a personal witness of Jesus' physical resurrection from the dead. John was an apostle of the Lord, or he was a special representative of Christ, because his authority came from the Lord himself to minister in his behalf. And so in view of this, John's writings, including 3 John, they are equal to the words of Christ, for they are words given by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. And so what we are studying, it is equally authoritative as the words of Jesus. 2 John is the smallest letter or book in the New Testament, yet it is powerful and profound. For it revealed the truth that how one claims who it revealed the truth that that how one who claims to be a Christian relates to those men who are truly called by God to preach and teach the word of God. It is indicative of one's relationship and fellowship with God. Let me read that again. Second John is the smallest letter or book in the New Testament, yet it is powerful and profound, for it reveals the truth that how one who claims to be a Christian relates to the man of God. It is indicative of one's relationship and fellowship with God. In other words, how you relate to men who are beyond question faithful in preaching and teaching the word of God, it reveals whether you are of God or whether you do not know God. And we gave you an example of that in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And we saw how Judah mocked, despised, and scoffed at every prophet of God that God sent to them. And the reason why Judah responded as they did to these men of God was because they were not godly. They were in rebellion against God, and they did not know God. And so when you read the Bible and see Hananiah attacking Jeremiah, it is not because Hananiah was godly. It was not because he was an immature child of God. It was because he did not know God. And so I challenge some of you, find one place in the Bible where you see a godly person in opposition to a genuine prophet of God. I doubt if you find it. Those who are in opposition to the man of God are those who do not know God, or they are in rebellion against God. And so we've seen this truth revealed in two or three historical characters mentioned in 3 John, the men Gaius and Diotrephes. Gaius was a man whose consistent behavior towards the men of God whom John had sent out to minister the word of God, it proved he was of God. For Gaius walked according to the truth of God's word. He lived honestly before all. And thus he saw to it that the men who ministered the word of God to God's people, they were materially and financially compensated in a manner worthy of God, or just as if Jesus himself was the one receiving the support. And so because of Gaius' behavior, John admonished the church which received this letter to imitate or to mimic Gaius. And so based on this principle, we concluded we are to prove that we know God by supporting those men who are faithful in ministering the word of God. And we are to support them, prove that we know God by supporting them in a manner worthy of God, or just as if we are supporting Christ. And then we are to mimic those who are doing good in the kingdom of God. So if you see someone and they are dedicated and faithful in ministry, mimic them. In contrast, Diotrephes, his consistent behavior towards the men of God, whose calling and profession was the word of God, it really revealed he did not know God. But in fact, he was an evil man. Or as the Greek says, his basic or his inherent nature was evil. In other words, even though Diotrephes professed to know Christ, he didn't. He was inherently evil. And that was the reason why he treated the men of God in such a despicable way. And so the behavior Diotrephes consistently practiced, which revealed this to be true, was he was selfish and self-centered. He didn't accept the word of God to be the word of God. And thus he refused to allow the local church to materially and financially support the men of God who ministered the word of God to this congregation. Diotrephes not only personally refused to support the men of God who labored in word and doctrine, but he forbid others to support these men. And those who did support them, he put them out of the church. And so because of this type of perpetual behavior in Diotrephes, John admonished those in this congregation not to imitate Diotrephes because he was an evil man who practiced evil things. Likewise, we should not imitate those who are in opposition to those men who are faithful and ministering the word of God. For if we do, we are mimicking that which is evil. And if we persistently mimic that which is evil, it is because we are evil or we do not know God. If your manner of life is evil all the time, every week you got something going on at the church, amen, that's not godly, amen. And your name is the common name always creeping up when there's church mess. There's a reason for that. And the reason is you have never been saved, amen. And you are like Diotrephes, inherently evil. You have not become a partaker of the divine nature. And so now I want to conclude this series in 3 John by looking at another character mentioned in this small letter, and that is the man named Demetrius. Notice verse 12 says, Demetrius has received a good, I'm used to reading in the King James. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone. I started to say report, but Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. Let me read it again. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. In this verse, John mentions the name of a man named Demetrius, a man who had a good testimony from everyone. I think that's a miracle. Amen. And he had a good testimony from the truth itself. And in this case, the truth is the word of God. So the word of God, it bore good testimony to the character of Demetrius. And he also had a good testimony from John and his ministry associates. And it was a testimony from these men who all knew was true because they knew John. And so they knew if John says this about you, more than likely it is true. They knew the character of John. They perceived that John was a godly man. Therefore, they really believe it. If John says it about Demetrius, it has to be the truth. Now, John had previously, or in verse 11, mentioned the evil Diotrephes and how this man had had a serious, grievous, toxic disrespect of those who ministered the word of God. He didn't believe the preachers John sent out should be compensated. He forbid others to support these ministers, and anyone who did, he put them out of the church. And when the preachers showed up to preach and teach the word of God, the Bible says he refused to let them into wherever the church had gathered. This would sort of be like, you know, I show up for church next Sunday, and Diotrephes is standing in front of the door facing Richmond Avenue with a 12-gauge shotgun. And he lets everyone in except me. Why? Because he hates the preacher. Amen. And so when the preacher showed up, he just wouldn't let him in. In previous sermons, we also gave other biblical illustrations as to how other men of God, other men who God used to write scripture, they also publicly mentioned the names of some whose sin was so grievous that it was destructive to other believers and also destructive to the local church. For example, Paul was carried along by the Holy Spirit to mention men such as Hymenaeus, Alexander, and Philetus in 1 Timothy because they taught false doctrine that had upset the faith of some. Paul called out the names of Hymenaeus and Philetus again in 2 Timothy because by this time these men were teaching false doctrine that Paul characterized as gangrene or a canker sore. Paul also called out the name of a man named Demas in the last chapter of 2 Timothy. And Paul called this man up because he had deserted Paul, having loved the present world more than God. In that same chapter, just a few verses below, where he calls out Demas, Paul also warned the young pastor Timothy of a man named Alexander the coppersmith. And Paul warned Timothy about him because he said, listen, this man did me much harm. And so he told Timothy, keep an eye on him, for he did me much harm. We didn't give you any examples from the Old Testament, but there are many. Examples such as God moving Moses to reveal the name of Balaam in the book of Numbers, a man whose sin haunted the people of Israel for centuries, and arguably to this day. The evil Haman is mentioned or named in the book of Esther. Hananiah is mentioned in Jeremiah 28, for he attacked Jeremiah by ripping this wooden yoke off of Jeremiah's neck that God told him to put on. And so he ripped it off of his neck and then he broke it to pieces. He then uttered a false prophecy. And because of this, God killed Hananiah before the year had ended. And well, beloved, just as God moved many of the men of God whom he used to write his word, just as he moved these men to publicly reveal the names of some because what they taught or how they lived was detrimental to all, the opposite is also true. That is this. There are some in the Word of God whose faithfulness to God and the people of God and the man of God was so exemplary. It was so admirable that God moved the authors of Scripture to publicly mention their names. And I believe their names are mentioned for the opposite reason that the evil, unsavory people's names are mentioned. In other words, men such as Diotrephes and Alexander the coppersmith names, they were mentioned in order that we not mimic their behavior. But men such as Demetrius, they are mentioned in order for us to be encouraged to mimic their behavior directly or in principle or in precept. For example, Paul mentions a man by the name of Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy 1, 15 and 18, because he was a man of exemplary Christian character. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Starting at verse 15. Second Timothy 1:15, notice what Paul says as he's writing to the young pastor Timothy. He says, you are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turn away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what service he rendered at Ephesus. In this text, we can see that the Holy Spirit moved Paul to mention the names of those who were evil, Phygellus and Hermogenes. And, you know, most of us, we got a problem with that. So we mentioned those who are evil. I just don't believe pastors, as I said, I just don't believe pastors should have done that. But if we mention those who are doing good, I don't know why it got to mention them. We all doing good. Amen. So if you mention the bad folks, it's wrong because they deserve a shot. They tearing up everything, but they deserve a fair shot. They about to tore the walls off the church. Amen. But yet we want to be merciful. Then you mentioned those who are doing good, Onesiphorus. Now, I don't know, hey, Onesiphorus ain't the only one doing good around here. Sometimes I just don't understand Christians, amen. There's some things I just don't understand about us. You know, we don't want to mention those who are tearing the church up. You don't want to mention the name of the bishop of the street who's preaching heresy. And you do name the good, and he didn't name me. Amen. I'm doing good. There's certain things I just don't understand. Us. I don't understand why Christians field dress the wounded. Amen. What's that? You know, if a person sins and gets weak and they sin, you know, a lot of us will gut him. Amen. You know, we usually only gut deer after they're dead. Amen. But Christians, you just wounded. We'll take you down all the way. Amen. I just don't understand certain things about us. If you are a good reader of your English Bible, you know, and thus you should remember that Paul often mentioned the names at the end of his letters or at the end of many of his letters, you notice Paul, he would mention names. He would name people. I want to read just one example. Romans 16, 1 through 15 gives us an extensive list of names of people whom God led Paul to mention. Romans, last chapter 16. Romans 16. I'll start at verse 1. Romans 16, 1 says, Romans 16, 1, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is at Cenchreae, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you, for she herself has also been a helper of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaphras, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet, I don't know if I'm pronouncing all these names correctly or not, but I think I'm pronouncing them as well as any of you would. Amen. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplitius. My beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Trophosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Greet Ansecretus, Phlegion, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren with them. Greet Philogus and Julia, Narissus and her sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. First of all, you need to understand, when Paul would send a letter to a church, it would be read publicly before the whole church, before all. So Paul wanted to make sure these names were mentioned to the entire church. He wanted them to know about these people who were exceptional in their walk in the Lord. Second, Paul did not publicly acknowledge these people because they were unfaithful to the Lord. He was not acknowledging them because they were unfaithful in their ministry. He is not naming them because they treated the brothers and sisters in Christ like dirt. The Holy Spirit did not lead Paul to mention these people's names because they were consistently causing trouble. These names were not named because they were always causing turmoil in the church. Paul did not mention their names because they gave little credence to the word of God or the authority of scripture in their lives. They are not being named because when they got to a verse they didn't like, they didn't do it. Or they would just say, well, that's what Paul says. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Join us tomorrow as he continues teaching the Word of God. Understanding the Scriptures is a broadcast of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio.